present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from Construction News, read by Charlotte Green.
A scaffolder was unaware that he'd shot himself in the head with a rivet gun until he went to the canteen and found he couldn't take his hard hat off.
Thanks to Dan Gleibitz of Piddle Hinton for sending us that. Now let's meet the star-studded teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Jeremy Hardy. On my left, Alan Corran and Roy Hattersley. Andy, who didn't think his cabinet good enough?
This is the funniest world leader at the moment. Boris Yeltsin. Woke up, dreadful hangover. Thought, I'm bored. What should I do? I could go out and twang my secretary's bra strap in an amusing way. Or I could fire the Prime Minister. I'll sod it, I'll do that. That's all. Also, I think he was extremely worried by the fact that Russia has enjoyed 3 weeks of stability. And he's brought in a man who I saw on the news this morning. He's got a very small face and he wears a huge hat. So you think there's something wrong with your telly. So the whole of Russia's going to be going, what's that? Oh, and you see, Primakov goes on the telly, goes weird. Look. And this man is renowned for very little except his unswerving loyalty to Yeltsin, which is good enough because Yeltsin does all the swerving.
I think it's virtual reality. Yeltsin isn't there at all, and they just superimpose another prime minister on the television picture. The
great thing about Yeltsin is you know that if you met him, he would say the Russian equivalent of, I love you.
So, 2 points there to Andy. Jeremy, who seems to have done MI6 a secret disservice?
This is your man, Tomlinson. He was sacked for something and he got really fed up with being sacked. And whereas most people would just like leave a gremlin in the computer system or a deposit in the waste paper basket, he just went off on one and he just published on the web the names of all the MI6 operatives and just some other people.
I thought he brought out the very best in the Daily Telegraph, something we're all happy to see. I mean, Tomlinson has exposed the names of ex-British Secret Service men whose lives are now in jeopardy, and when the Telegraph published a picture in the paper, they blacked out his eyes so yes. He couldn't be recognised and nobody would get him. They'd get the other 64, but...
He'd already upset his bosses by claiming that donations had been made by Serbia to the Tory party. These allegations were strongly denied. We would never become involved with an evil gang of psychopaths, said a spokesman for President Milosevic. Roy, who's hanging in there for a hung parliament?
Well, there's two hung parliaments. I mean, there's one in Wales and one in Scotland. And the minority parties of both are hoping that they'll get some power as a result of this. And this means that all those of us who knew that PR was a bloody disaster from the beginning of now, their views confirmed.
If you really want to laugh out of the audience, try saying Ron Davis and hung parliament.
Over the years of our long friendship, I've known it's always been my duty to leave the cheap crack to you, Alan.
I think cheap crack was a mistake in these circumstances.
See what I mean?
Ron Davis is out in the cold, just as he had been late one Monday night in last week. But he has been assured that a place in the cabinet will be found for him just as soon as they create a ministry for Welsh Rastafarian cookery. 2 points to Roy. Alan, your piece of music.
Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong Phooey, quicker than the human eye. He's got style, a groovy style, and a vibe that just won't stop. When the going gets rough, he's super tough with a Hong Kong Phooey chop.
Hong Kong Phooey by Sarah Brightman. Alan, where is a pattern definitely starting to form?
Oh, what a tricky question. Yeah, well, Chris Patton, who Tony Blair is sending him to Europe as our commissioner and has put Haig's tiny nose out of joint. Haig had a job in mind for Chris Patton involving the high seas and a plank. And before he could do anything about it, he was snaffled by Tony Blair, who's sending Patton to Europe.
And because of his great consistency, Patton is now going to give Europe to the Chinese.
This continues the trend of Tony Blair appointing his political enemies to high-profile posts, such as Michael Heseltine as trade ambassador to China, David Mellor at the Football Task Force, and Gordon Brown at the Treasury. And the scores at the end of round one are everybody 4 points. We start round two with an item seen in a Thomson holiday brochure.
A typical day at sea might start with a genital stretch and tone session on the
That's what they mean by cruising. Thanks to Sheila McGuigan for that. Andy, who found himself well and truly left at the school gates.
Oh, ah. The ghost of Frankie Howard came in there. No. Is this Jeremy Corbyn?
It is.
It appears, although a little voice tells me it can't be the whole story, but the one version doing the rounds is that Jeremy Corbyn and his wife split up because she wanted their son to go to a nice grammar school 6 or 7 miles away, and he thought that was against his socialist ideals, and that they split up over that. I mean, frankly, I don't think that's worth having a row about. Whose turn it is to put out the bins? Yes. Persistent leaving the top off the toothpaste, obviously, up the courts in the morning. But I would have thought that given that the whole hoopla of deciding which secondary school to send your child to now is getting so convoluted and complicated, I would have thought that I think there must be something else.
Because Tories don't have this dilemma, because they just send their children to boarding school because they don't like them.
Also, they don't have proper marriages.
They have a lot of functions where they say, I don't think it's wise for you to come, darling. You'll be find it very, very boring. Most of the people there will be very young and Thai.
This is true. Roy won't even send his dog to boarding kennels, will you?
Oh, but that's much more important than children. I mean, keep a proper proportion, for God's sake.
Well, my children have yet to write a best-selling book for me. Jeremy Corbyn recently had a gathering of almost 150 people in central London hanging on his every word as he regaled them on the state of the Labour Party. But then the tube stopped and they were able to get off. 2 points to Andy. Jeremy, which couple received the royal stamp of approval?
Oh, God, this is the most pointless two people in all England, isn't it? In their incredibly swinging coffee bar beatnik pose. They're on a stamp. Why are they on a stamp? He's dimly related to the Queen. He's the last one of the litter, isn't he? Edward is the one where the midwife would have said, I wouldn't feed him if I were you. But he's the crazy one who pretends to make a living of his own in the world of television, having failed at the art of helicopter flying, unlike the older one who looks like a copper.
His film company asked me to appear in a film he was making. It was about biomolecular physics or something of that sort. I can't quite remember now. And I wrote the letter that everybody here would have written saying how much. And they wrote back saying there was no fee, but I would get to meet Prince Edward.
I think you got Ian McKellen's letter.
Two points to Jeremy. Roy, your piece of music. Roy who's planning to solve his financial worries by claiming insolvency.
Oh, this is Mr. Aitken, with whom I have a special relationship. Misguided, some time ago, I wrote a profile of him. And somebody said to me, he'll be the Tory leader one day. And I wrote it. And I was wrong, wasn't I, as it turned out? And now, whenever you see an account of Mr. Aitken, no matter what he's done, it says at the bottom of the column, some people were tipping him for the Tory leadership. And that was just me. I'm the only person.
When I used to go to his place, I would tell everybody...
What did you used to go to his place for?
Well, did you need guns or something? Say he's bankrupt with assets of only 40,000, and under the government's new asylum bill, if you've got jewellery to the value of more than 14 days' benefit, you have to cough it up. Like, if you've got a watch that's more than, like, 50 quid, you have to sell it. And yet this man is bankrupt with a mere £40,000 in the bank. I think we want to see him pawn his shreddies.
I'm very embarrassed by all the politics on this programme, I must say.
Well, you've been embarrassed by politics all your life, sir.
Absolutely.
You mean that?
Alan, whose lack of teamwork has been accused of letting the side down?
Well, this is another... It's the 14th fresh new initiative this week. And it says that children who don't want to play competitive games don't have to play them, and you don't have to play cricket or football or any of these things, so the government can sell off more playing fields. And if I were Jeremy, I would say build blocks of executive homes for trashy Eurobond dealers and friends of the royal family and other rubbish.
But I've seen quite a few angry columns on the sports pages, rather amusingly saying, if we abolish team sports, how are we ever going to create a strong English cricket side? Well, we've been having team sports for the last 30 years. Clearly, team sports is not the answer. There's no doubt it is character. If you take a sport like lacrosse... I mean, it's undoubtedly character building for kids to have to run around a cold, muddy field with a wooden, very hard ball flying around their heads at great speed. Because I think it teaches them that life is short. and precarious. And it makes an example of the slow ones. It's sort of the evolutionary thing.
So the scores at the end of round two are, inevitably, everybody, 8 points. And we start round three with an excerpt from a letter from a coffin manufacturer.
The factory will be closed for bulk orders from the 31st of May to the 7th of June 1999. The factory will operate a skeleton staff for the distribution of stock coffins.
Thanks to Ian and Sue Masters of Linfield for that. Jeremy, your music. Jeremy, why shouldn't Mum and Dad let there be light?
Oh, this is all these people who try and tell you you're messing up your kids' lives as if we didn't know. Apparently everything we do is wrong. Every couple of years they bring out a survey saying, oh, you mustn't give them bottled milk because their pelvis will explode when they're 30. And first they tell you, oh, they're supposed to sleep on their back. Then you say, no, they're supposed to sleep face down in their own vomit. And he's supposed to sleep upside down in the wardrobe. And now they say that they're better off screaming in terror and clawing at the bedroom door with their tiny little nails than having a little tiny cute nightlight on to give them some sort of comfort in this miserable, dispiriting world. And we're all such evil parents that there is a minor risk that our children might be short-sighted because they sleep with the light on. And who doesn't go to bed in lurking terror, let's be honest. And besides, this is all irrelevant because most children sleep with their mum and dad until they go to university. So, who are these people who do their service? It's all done on mice anyway. They put a mouse to bed and then they shine a little Pifco torch in its eyes. And then they put a couple of cocktail sticks under its eyes, and then they say, oh, this mouse betrayed bizarre symptoms of running around chewing sideboards and running around in a big wheel. Therefore, all parents are wrong, as if we didn't know. I mean, as if we didn't have enough pressure. I mean, we're doing our best to screw our kids' heads up. We haven't got time to mess up their eyesight. Let's be honest.
Since Jeremy has such strong views on these matters, he ought to tell us whether he, when he was a child, he went to sleep in the dark or in the light, so caring parents can make sure of doing the other thing.
Girls, didn't have girls. Sleep in my day. Couldn't afford sleep.
Too poor to sleep.
Roy, which continental visitor stay in England may be dogged by a poor reception?
Oh, this is the blissful decision to issue passports for pets. And that means that dogs, who are much to be preferred to human beings, will soon be allowed to travel backwards and forwards across the Channel. And there's a great campaign on. I have the petition with me now to make sure that all our best hotels allow dogs in and make special services available to them.
Will the dogs be allowed to smoke in restaurants?
Only if they're doing it to test a product.
Well, I want to know, what's the dog's passport going to look like? I mean...
And will the dog be embarrassed?
The only problem is going to get getting the dog to go into that little cubicle and putting the money in the stock. That's the only problem.
It's going to drive the sniffer dog situation mad, isn't it? Because it'll just be lots of... all these poor customs officers looking up various dogs' bottoms to find drugs, won't it? He's onto something. Oh, no, he's forming a relationship with him.
The news that pets will receive passports was widely welcomed in many quarters, especially by Mohammed Al-Fayed, who has changed his name to Fido. Alan, which apartments are in a sorry state?
Is Buckingham Palace?
Yes.
Sure, it's very unhappy because Buckingham Palace is in such a crap state. Well, they go there, it's very dull. They go there expecting to see things they've read about the royal family. They want to see Sophie chasing Edward round the corridors and Edinburgh chucking corgis out of the window and screaming. And it doesn't happen. You just go around, it's a big ugly house full of big ugly people. And it costs 40 quid or something and they want it back.
But didn't the palace say it's not a tourist attraction, it's the Queen's home?
It's... No, it's one of her humble homes. How many are there, Jeremy? Can you remember?
Well, she's got a few safe houses in County Monaghan. And she's got one in Scotland, one in Windsor, where they had a fire for insurance purposes.
And she's got that timeshare in the Algarve.
She's got that.
Visitors were said to be particularly disappointed when they discovered that the promised white-knuckle roller coaster was actually the Queen Mother's Stannar stairlift. The scores at the end of round three are Andy and Jeremy 10, but Alan and Roy in the lead with 14 points. Before we start the final round, here's a clipping from the Royston and Buntingford Mercury.
A man who got into women's lingerie only a year ago is about to open a second shop. If all goes according to plan, the grand opening of She Lingerie will take place next Saturday amid a flurry of special offers and prize draws.
Thanks to Linda Badishaw of Barley for that. Andy, listen to this.
I know that music. Handles him to roughage.
Like those sprouts for tea, Mother.
And who won't need new trunks to go for a splash?
Well, this is... it seems every week now we get a story about evolution. And this is a story about the evolution of the elephant.
Every week the stories get better.
That's right. And by looking at the fetuses of elephants, they discovered the sort of residual organs, which indicate that the elephant was once a marine.
A marine?
A marine.
going down cliffs.
Yeah. alongside Paddy Ashdown saying, saying, I don't know why it is, but I seem to travel down much faster than you do, Paddy.
Slipping to shore, unseen.
Anyway, marine mammals, and they think that the trunk was developed as a snorkeling device. Obviously not now, because on the plains of Africa, snorkeling opportunities are limited.
But how would that work? How would it survive for these necessary millions of eons at the bottom of the sea before it developed something to breathe through that it could poke up through the sea and snort? There's no point.
There was a photo of an elephant doing exactly that, an elephant who was out of his depth, you know, hadn't read the signs at the swimming pool, and and he had his he had his trunk up. I'm actually gesturing. I can't believe this. I'm doing a radio show and I've got my arm in the air.
He hasn't really.
It's not known exactly why elephants first took to the water, but it's thought they were trying to escape from Mary Chipperfield. Jeremy, who's hoping to bring back Clown Court?
Don't know.
Do you know?
Of course
we do.
A clown is going to become a magistrate.
I knew that.
When some clowns go to funerals, do they all go in the same car? Anyway, that's it. Big bloke in a red suit in the Daily Mail.
Can you explain this?
Yeah, you can't explain, get the point.
I mean, anybody can be a magistrate. Anybody can be a GP. You have only to look at the sentences some of these prats hand down to know this. And they've got a genuine clown now.
2 points to Alan. Roy, according to which book should you first catch thy bear?
Could I try to think?
It's an old book. Because of the thy. You spotted thy, that. It, yeah, it's an old book, and it's a cookbook.
A cookbook?
It's a very old cookbook. It's How to Cook a Bear's Head. It's a terrific title.
By whom?
Call Artemis the Acronite or something.
Oh, well,
it's an elderly cookbook.
I'm now ready to answer if you'd like to. It's called How to Cook a Bear's Head.
Someone give those two some bingo cards.
It's going to be like that Delia Smith thing where she said everybody should eat loganberries and the shops ran out. You won't be able to get a bear's head in Waitrose.
Yeah, I agree with every word you're saying about that. Right? Okay.
And parts of an old boar. That's nothing. No. The book also says what to do with parts of an old boar to make hamburger and all that.
The book recommends the use of cannabis for those stricken with the plague. It won't cure your symptoms, but at least you have a jolly good laugh when your mate's pustules explode.
Terrible.
Alan, who paid more than just lip service to a battle axe?
This is not Mrs. Hamilton.
It is.
Oh, dear. She kissed a man called Good Hands. Terrible thought, isn't it? Mr. and Mrs. Hamilton went to the Oxford University Conservative Association, a very small group. They need to make up the numbers, and there were four of them. And immediately, one of them said, I know what we can do for fun. I'll put my tongue down Mrs. Hamilton's throat
for fun?
While you drink whiskey out of the bottle. Well, they go anywhere for a free meal. I mean, they owe nothing except a lot of old brown envelopes.
Well, she said if you thought that was a snog, he doesn't know what a snog is. It only lasted a minute.
Well, that's evolution. She's probably developing a snorkel that can...
Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
This is from Tony Coombe, and it's from a local paper in Orpington, and I very much hope that it's true. It says, the world's first practical jokers conference was abandoned after it got out of hand. The conference hall in Germany had to be repeatedly evacuated because of hoax bomb warnings. Three Swedish delegates needed hospital treatment after sitting on electrified lavatory seats. And the first night party was ruined when someone spiked the punch with a laxative.
Jeremy.
This is sent by Ian Murray, and it's from the Wallasey Rose, because the Labour Party now send out things called the Something Rose, which is like they send you a magazine that tells you how much money they're saving, and it costs us a fortune to pay for these magazines. And this is item 2 on Labour's key pledges. Cut NHS waiting lists. We have saved £100 million by cutting red tape. Waiting lists have now fallen for 6 of the last 5 months.
Right. I fear mine's medical, and it's from The Independent. A campaign to save the foreskin is to be launched next month by doctors who claim that the practice of circumcision is medically unnecessary. Dr. Peter Hall said, "They are wrong. It's not just a bit of skin that can be lopped off willy-nilly."
Well, by an extraordinary and somewhat irritating coincidence, mine is not only about waiting lists, but is also medical, because it's come from the British Medical Journal, Notes and Queries, and it says, "When we look at waiting lists for minor operations, however, the situation is less happy. Most improved is surgery for hernia, now on the top of the league table, but as we go further down the list, we see that there has been little or no progress for varicose veins, tonsils and adenoids, bunions, sebaceous cysts and cartilage, and hemorrhoids are still on the bottom."
Thank you all. Let's look now at the final score. Andy and Jeremy have 12, but Alan and Roy have scored a runaway victory with 20 points. And before we leave you, here's an item spotted in the Daily Telegraph.
Transport officials have banned the number plate that would spell Viagra because it was deemed too rude. License plates previously withdrawn include T1TTY and T4RTY. But DVLA officials in Swansea ruled that V14GRA could cause offence. Brian Roberts, marketing manager of the DVLA's sales scheme, said, "We realise that this is a number which would really stand out."
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy and Roy Hattersley. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Charlotte Boone. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was John Rolfe.